The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
They told him many barriers hindered their work, including their own lack of knowledge about how to structure and effectively manage an organization, raise and track finances, and present their own case so others would want to support them. Armed with only $25,000 grant, my next guest resigned his position as a resident fellow at the American Enterprise Institute for Public Policy Research and launched the National Center for Neighborhood Enterprise. And we are pleased to have Robert Woodson Sr. on the phone right now to talk with us again. A repeat guest. Good to have you back.
Pleased to be back. Since that founding about 4 years ago, we have sort of recast ourselves as the Woodson Center. So our new name is the Woodson Center. It's because my name is more associated with the actions and philosophy. So that's the, if people want to contact us, they'll find it under the Woodson Center.
WoodsonCenter.org. We're going to talk a bit about the center, but I want to launch into a story that we recently saw. I think it was the Wall Street Journal, one of the papers. It was really kind of a reflection on what you've seen recently in the news. We've seen these stories about the violence in Mexico, that family, that group that had been down there and just shot in their vehicle, other cases with lawlessness in the United States, and kind of this new trend toward not respecting police or being down on the concept of ICE and removing violent predators. Walk us into this story and the observations you have about the changing face of America and its attitude toward law enforcement.
Yes, in the Wall Street Journal column, I talked about how outraged the world was when those six children and three moms who were Mormons in Tijuana, Mexico, were just assassinated and savagely shot. And it shocked the world, and the very fact that the police could do very little to protect those families. And my point in my column was, as shocking as it is, such barbaric events happen every day in American cities, and at the same time, law enforcement has been under attack and vilified, particularly by the race grievance industry, and as a consequence, I really think that that we need to focus on the decline and deterioration of civil life in these cities as a consequence of police being under attack. In a column I talked about in St. Louis, Missouri, this summer, past summer, 14 children were shot to death, homicide, on the streets of St. Louis in just 3 months. And only one person was arrested. And the reason was is because there's been such distrust between minority and black communities and police that people are reluctant to testify. Also, police, because every time a white police officer shoots a black armed or unarmed, it becomes a subject of national outrage and demonstrations. And as a consequence, it results in what I call police nullification. It means police said, well, if I'm going to be accused of racism by being aggressive, then I just won't enforce the laws as aggressively. And so over the past 3 years, we've seen an uptick in the violence in the inner cities and its barbarity and a decline in law enforcement.
Yeah. Right. And I want to mention one of the images that comes to mind was this summer when we kept seeing on the news in New York City people pouring water buckets on law enforcement officers. And it wasn't to cool them off. It wasn't a nice thing they were being done. It was they were literally attacking these officers, and the officers would just walk away not enforcing it. Obviously, probably thinking the same thing. If I, you know, all these phones are going right now, if I actually take these people into custody, they're going to make me out to be the bad officer. I mean,
right,
some...
and also it's significant that there was an attempt on the part of city council to make throwing water on an officer a felony to protect the officers, and the Democratic members of city council voted against the law. In Brooklyn, also this year, there were violent demonstrations against the police, and police cars were vandalized, and people were throwing items at the police. Even a member of Congress stood and supported the demonstrators, and so. But as a consequence of this wholesale assault on law enforcement, there is a crisis in recruitment. Recruitment is down 62% overall in the country. People, the police departments are just not recruiting the number of people. And as a consequence, in St. Paul, Minnesota, there were about 6,000 calls, 911 calls, where the police could not respond because there was a lack of personnel. So it's creating a crisis that people are just unaware of.
Yeah, and they need to understand that it has implications, you know. My guest is founder and president Robert L. Bob Woodson, Sr. We are talking about what is going on in communities across this nation. I want to focus on Los Angeles because that's where we are. And, you know, you can't not see the story of the homeless situation in downtown. We had an incident just a week ago in which the suspect is in custody. A homeless person takes a cabbie, allegedly kills him with a knife, trying to steal the cab. You have people living like a third world country on the streets of Los Angeles, and law enforcement can't move them or take them off the streets. And you have courts that have said unless you have shelters, they have a right to stay, they have a right to their belongings, and you have disease and infestation with rats in the community. What are we doing here? Is there an attitude in the same way that is a pendulum shifted that somehow is to protect the homeless? But, you know, hey, what's going on? What do you think?
What we're really saying is that the homeless have more rights than law-abiding citizens have. That's the message that we're sending. The very fact that in California, that if someone commits a robbery or shoplifting and it's under, I think, $900, then they can't be charged, which is encouraging people to steal because they know there's not going to be any repercussions from their unlawful acts.
Right, right. And then you hear the story about the stores that lock up, you know, under lock and key. Products, hair products or other things, and you get people complaining, you know, that's not fair. You're locking them up because you just don't trust us. It's a racial thing. I mean, the pendulum swings, doesn't it?
It really does. I mean, it's a no-win situation where if you take precautions and move out of the community, as quite a few merchants have chosen to do, they have to clean human waste off of their steps before they can conduct business. I've been told that ever since Starbucks has been charged with racism for insisting that only customers use their bathrooms, so they've changed their policies, but they're losing customers because homeless people and others are coming into Starbucks' bathrooms and just leaving it a mess. And so as a consequence, Starbucks is beginning to pay the price in the marketplace because fewer people are going into Starbucks. So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that if you don't balance rights with responsibilities, then you get what you have in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Everyone has a certain amount of right, but for every right, we need to emphasize someone's responsibility. Yeah. And that's not, there's no balance between those two in Los Angeles with regard to law enforcement.
Yeah. Back to the shootings, the rush to judgments. I want to get your thought about that. There have been some very high-profile cases in which you had high ups, including a former U.S. president, kind of taking the side that turned out not to be, when the investigation was done, the person at fault. Take a moment to explore the rush to judgment by some in putting the blame on the officers.
Well, that's the part of the assault on law enforcement that's a part of, of this culture of grievance, I call it, where so-called social justice warriors look for every opportunity to vilify the police. There was a situation, I think, in Oakland back in 2009 where a felon, a person, killed actually five police officers, and he was treated as a conquering hero at his funeral. And so, but there was no outrage around the country when this happened. And so, but it's really, how can the police department, if they're under attack and their numbers are in decline, how can they protect us from foreign terrorists if they can't even protect us from our own citizens here? I mean, if you get them being marginalized and also reducing the numbers, we're going to reach a crisis situation like you're going to have in Mexico. Because what's going to happen is that if people can't find the protection they need from the government and law enforcement, then they're going to seek it from the people, like in Mexico, from the drug cartels. The very people who are preying on them will be the only people who are able to protect them. And you get anarchy when you see, that's why I say Mexico could happen here if we aren't careful in walking down this very treacherous path that we're on.
Yeah. Certainly, as you've mentioned, the examples of where there aren't enough people applying to be police officers because they get it. They see what's going on in the news. Hey, if I become a police officer and I get involved in a case where I have to shoot someone and the person's a different race, they're going to come after me. I mean, people are figuring out it's not worth it. And as they do that, as you mentioned earlier, fewer and fewer people sign up, more calls will be unanswered. And, you know, where are we in 2 years, 4 years, 8 years, and 10 years in this country when we look back and say, what did we do?
What is more troubling is that a lot of those people that you see on television who are agitating against the police, many of them are academics with victims' books, they don't have to suffer the consequence of their advocacy. Because many of these so-called social justice warriors do not live in communities that are not protected. Either they live in condominiums or gated communities where law enforcement is encouraged to protect the citizens, or they live in situations where they're able to hire a private law enforcement force that are armed to protect them.
Yeah, and with that, we've got to leave it there. Robert L. Bob Woodson, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate you being on the program today from the Woodson Center.
Thank you.
Take care now.